You are listening to the Dharma Ocean podcast. In this talk, Reggie says that when we meditate in an embodied way, our lives flow freely. Somatic meditation dismantles our doubt, frees us from the fetters of thinking, and allows us to receive the inherent blessing within each moment. This talk was given at the 2010 Winter Datun, a month-long retreat held at the Blazing Mountain Retreat Center in Crestone, Colorado.
So, the practice of meditation is to dismantle our doubt. And it's that easy, there's nothing more to it. And dismantling doubt is not that hard. All we have to do is learn how to be here, in our body, feeling our life. The key insight of Tibetan yoga is you can't be here in your body, feeling life, and be thinking about it at the same time. It can't be done. And when we are here in our body, feeling our life, the river is flowing. At that moment, the river is flowing. We come in, we do the body work, and the river is flowing right then. It's not that far away. And our task is to, as I was saying yesterday, shift our allegiance from thinking about our life to being our life. Just a little shift of allegiance. You know, samsara is being aligned with thinking about our life. Can you imagine a state of being where you don't ever think about your life anymore? It's so doable. That's what we're doing. That's what the body work is. Most meditation is thinking about meditation. It's not actually meditating. We're up here and we're thinking about meditation. We have an image of what meditation is and we're trying to make ourselves do it. That's not meditation. That's thinking about meditation. We have a memory of meditation. We have a certain experience. We're holding the image and we're trying to get there. That's thinking about meditation. As long as we are up here and thinking about meditation, there's no meditation. Meditation happens when we drop the idea of meditation. And we're just here, in our body, feeling our life. That's the state of meditation. And we, there's no journey, really, from a certain point of view. The only journey that's ever made is the ego's journey of giving it up. I mean, as far as the body goes, there's no journey. I mean, the river is flowing. I have to journey to the river of life. Where's the river of life? You know, I'm going to get in a boat. I lived in the 15th century, and I'm going to get in a boat, and I'm going to sail and find the river of life. Where is it? I'm going to sail all over the world. And reports come back, we found the river of life. It's in the middle of the jungle in South America. So everybody wants to go to South America and find the river of life. Or I'm a spiritual practitioner, you know, I'm practicing really hard, I'm really working on myself. Someday I want to find the river of life. But the thing is, the river of life is already flowing, and the river of life is us. It already is. There's nothing to find. There's something to discover, which means dismantling our doubt so we can feel the river that is our life. So, things are already in place for us. There's a teaching in the Vajrayana that says that we need resources for our life. And we all feel kind of poverty-stricken. We feel like we don't have what we need. We don't have enough money. We don't have enough good relationships. We don't have enough love in ourselves. We don't have enough openness. we don't have enough health. And the teaching is that actually everything that we need is already present in our life. And everything that our life is the complete abundance of life that we actually need and long for. And we're always looking to something else. If only I weren't young, if only I weren't old, if only I weren't male, if only I weren't female, if only I were healthy, if only I didn't have these things in my history. And all of that is missing the point of the fullness that's already there. So, you know, when we do the body work and when we meditate, there's a kind of easy, humorous, joyful quality about it, because things are already in place for us, completely in place. And all we need to do is just come back to ourselves and be with who we are. So, being freaked out is, it's really no big concern to us. Being afraid, I mean, yeah, we're afraid. It's part of the splendor of our life. Being anxious, it's interesting. You know, why is the universe manifesting at this moment in my life as anxiety? I'm lonely. What is in the loneliness? What's coming here? What is showing up? So with everything that happens to us in life, whether it's inner or outer, we take the attitude of its perfection and its meaningfulness. And it is the kiss of the universe. It is the tender love of the universe for us, expressing itself in this moment. And our task is to receive it. And in receiving it and opening to it, there's understanding. So we do need to keep ourselves busy. And so we do the body work as a way of kind of biding time for the universe to show up, and it does show up, of course. But the overall, you know, the overall feeling is very much one of universal blessing. We, Caroline and I, have a friend, Matthew Fox, who's a Christian Episcopalian priest now, who's written a lot about original blessing, and what he says is, which is very much our lineage, is that we are, the universe communicates itself to us within time. You know, fundamentally there is no time, but we have this thing, time. And it's within time that we are communicated with. And the moments of our life is where the universe delivers its blessing. It doesn't deliver the blessing somewhere else. It's in each moment of our life. And so our task as meditators is to be present to the moments of our life, which is what meditation helps us do, so we're not so distracted that we actually miss it. And then secondly, to receive whatever happens with an open heart. This is in our closing aspiration. The everyday practice is to develop a complete acceptance and openness to all the situations and emotions, and all the people of our life, experiencing everything without mental reservation and without blockages. When we do that, we are letting ourselves be loved. and what our life needs to be happens without our intervention. Now that's a radical point of view, that it's our intervention that gets between us and our own life. And that through the practice of meditation, we develop this kind of radical presence and openness and ability to receive our own life. And when we do that, we are what we were meant to be. And we feel we have come home, and we are everything that we've ever wanted in those moments. So it's this is the tantric view. And we discover that the continuity of our life that has been initially invisible, and then we began to see glimpses, and then we began to long for it, is actually the person that we've been looking for, maybe for millions of lifetimes. Strangely enough, more that we are the river, the more we realize that our true life is just beginning. And this river flows through the forests and the deserts of this world, and other people can come and drink from it and be made whole. And then we begin to wonder whether this river that we have discovered to be ourselves is really our own life at all. Or maybe it's just life flowing through us, and there is no need for additional commentary about me and myself. When we discover ourselves as life itself, then there is fulfillment, and at the same time, movement throughout the universe. There is no boundary on life. Life expresses itself everywhere and always, and we become part of that process. Sometimes in the practice of spirituality, we feel that the universe is rather indifferent. And even sometimes in Buddhism, there's a feeling that, well, there's like emptiness, and that's not living, and it doesn't really care. But the final truth really is, in the Vajrayana, is that the universe is love. And that love expresses itself in everything that is, and everything that ever was and ever will be is an expression of love. And that love attends to all the forms of being. It's very, very, very personal. And this is what the Christian tradition really adds to the conversation. The Vajrayana already has this part, but a lot of Buddhism doesn't. We are loved in a very personal and in the most intimate way possible. And everything that happens to us is as if we were the only person in the entire universe, and the entire universe is totally focused on us in the sense of loving us and helping us become who we are. There's a saying in the Bible that even each individual hair of our head is loved and is known. And I would go further, and I would say the universe loves us down to each individual cell in our body. And nothing ever happens to us outside or inside that is not an expression of that love. So in the Vajrayana, our task is to come back and be so present in our bodies and to ourselves that we begin to see that. It's not that it's not happening. It is happening. We just don't see it. So it's simply a matter of dismantling whatever it is that gets between us and the glory and the blessing and the sacredness that already is our life. Trungpa Rinpoche called this the most positive affirmation of being that you could ever imagine. And what a contrast to the way life is normally thought about and human life is thought about.
More of Reggie's teachings, find out about upcoming retreats, and to explore a variety of audio listening guides to assist you on your spiritual journey, please visit dharmaocean.org. Music is by Jeff Beal and Nawang Ketchog from the album Tibet, Cry of the Snow Lion.